Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Tim, I don't know how much you keep up with the world of athletics outside of the Olympics.
I'm hearing stuff about Gout. I'm hearing stuff about that other sprinter, like Jackson Browning or something like that. You know, James Magnussen in the enhanced games. Does that count? Probably not.
Sure. But yeah. So Gout's been competing, I believe.
Just broke the 200 meter record in Europe, the Australian record, I'm pretty sure.
So the Golden Spike meet was held in the Czech Republic over the last few days. And have you heard of the name Chris Robinson?
Sounds familiar, yeah.
Right. So he's a world champion, I think like 4x400 meters usually.
Okay.
But this, for the Golden Spike meet, you have to, it's invitation only. So they invite you to compete in these games if you're like at an elite level. And he was asked to compete in the 400 meter hurdles.
Hurdles are the worst.
Hurdles are so hard.
I'm not a fan of tripping. So.
Right? And you're going at such a speed. I don't know how they do it. Anyway, he was doing the 400 meter hurdles. And he's in like a white singlet, white shorts.
Yeah.
Running down the straight, takes the first jump, trips a little bit, but you can keep going. I think you get like one knockover.
I think it's like two or three.
Yeah.
Like until you knock something over properly and then you just out.
Unfortunately, he's had a wardrobe malfunction because of the trip.
Has he Sam Larlord?
Yeah.
Yeah. Richmond player from the start of the year. Got a Bonds deal out of it. Hold his tackle
but like,
in.
Like full, fully out.
Like all three.
Like
the three musketeers all came out to play.
Like if he was doing the baton race, like his baton was exposed.
Like it's not a relay. Calm down.
It wasn't a relay.
Oh, that's a shame.
And so for the rest of the run, 400 meters on these hurdles, he's still legging it. He's still very much in with the pack. But he's like trying to adjust himself and put them back in.
Damn. And them.
To the point where he, at some point, he just gave up and just legged it. Was like, let me just finish the race.
Mm.
Ended up winning. Got a season's best time of 48.05 seconds.
Won it by an inch. Sorry.
And look, it all happened so quickly that like they couldn't censor it out initially.
Oh, no.
Because it was live. It was broadcast live.
Yeah. Nothing's worse than slow motion.
So, like, his baton was out there for the world to see.
Yeah. As long as no one grabbed it and tried to run on it, I think that's the main thing. I'm keeping uniform with the jokes that you're putting out there.
I thought on 52232955, great time to talk about wardrobe malfunctions. Have you ever had one?
I have seen out of the corner of my vision, in my peripheral vision, your areola. We were on a yacht, and this is the most bougie story ever.
we were on a yacht,
having breakfast.
We were doing a radio show on a yacht. We didn't just hire a yacht.
And we were both in our bathers.
Yeah.
And I was sitting out looking at the water, and you were on my left. And I saw something. It was just a little bit darker. And I was like, Jess, I'm not going to look, but perchance.
Is your breast out?
Is your nipple out? And you went, oh, yep, it is. So I've seen... I haven't seen
it. The professional.
I haven't seen it, but I have.
I was just putting it all on the line that day, you know? Yeah. We were on a yacht.
I'm trying to, I might have to think on it during the song because I feel like everyone's had some form of wardrobe malfunction.
It's so true.
It turns out there's a lot of people, Jess, who have called up about wardrobe malfunctions. Abby in Grovedale, can you tell us your story?
Yeah, so when I was younger at Christmas time, my family would have like trifle competitions, usually between the females of the family.
I love when a family has a tradition like that, Abby.
100%.
It's so much fun.
It's fun. It's display, you know, all of that. But my aunt, who was relatively new to the family, like she just had my cousin, but she was still, you know, just a couple years into it. And she won the trifle competition. My nana was the judge. She won. And my mum sort of like fell down in defeat, being all dramatic as she does. And she accidentally dapped my aunt, like she was wearing a skirt, like middle of summer, you know, 35 degree day. And my poor aunt is standing there holding her prize winning trifle with no bottoms on.
So her hands are full as well. She can't even just quickly pull them up.
Yeah, exactly. Like my mum tried to help and it just didn't work out for either of them. It was a bad situation.
Wow, your mum's a very sore loser,
there's
Abby.
There's no way that your auntie ever believes that wasn't intentional,
right?
Oh, I think everyone still thinks it was intentional. I don't know. My mum has a weird brain, but good on her. She sore loser.
And that was the last time we ever did the travel competition.
Never came back. Never came back. Stacey in Corio, this isn't you, but your dad had a wardrobe malfunction. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so we took myself and a couple of my girlfriends down to the pool when we were younger. And this is like when Norlane still had their diving towers, and he's climbed all the way up to the top one, to the very top of the fourth one, and he's jumped off. And when he's resurfaced, he's realised that the air has come up into his shorts as he's gone down, and he's hopped out of the pool. And thank goodness he was wearing underwear, because he's got out and all it was his jocks with a piece of elastic around his waist and a piece of fabric hanging down on either side of his thighs. And he sort of looked at him and went, that's a bit breezy. Realised what's happened, and very quickly ushered me and my girlfriends out of the pool and back to the car.
That would have been like your teenage nightmare there, Stacey.
Was it hilarious, or were you mortified?
Oh, I thought it was hilarious, but my friends who happened to live next door to us were more red than I was. They thought it was more embarrassing, because he's sort of going, yes, my daughters, and they're going, no, we're not with him.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry, it's Tim and Jess.
Huge fans of AFLW here, in particular, of course, our beloved Cats. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be joined by some of the players from the W side. Pre-season's officially underway. It has been forever, too long since we've had this person in the studio, Jess.
Well, I mean, I think we've only ever had her once in the studio, because she meets us out and about.
Yeah. Georgie Rankin, so good to see you.
Thanks for having me back, guys.
Your off-season is long on the W front. What have you been up to? We thought we'd just have a bit of a general catch-up before we chat W stuff.
Oh, I went back home up to the Gold Coast. That was really nice over Christmas. Saw my little niece, sister, brother, mum, dad, so always love doing that. Went to the Sunny Coast, actually, for a week. With a couple of the footy girls, and visited Bella Smith. She lives up there, so that was a nice treat. And then I went back home again, went and saw Luke Combs, which I loved. That was a highlight, backed up by my birthday celebration. So that was kind of off-season, but I locked in quite early was doing a heap of training, sourced sort of a connection outside the footy club as well that really has got me on track for this preseason, and the coaches
trying to step up your game.
Year on year, got to get better.
Have you noticed the difference from like last year's preseason to this year's preseason? Like, are you feeling more prepared?
Oh, 100%. Probably feeling like the fittest I've felt personally, and probably the most confident in a little while. And I had quite an interrupted preseason last year. Had a lot of surgery and little bits here and there. So it's been unreal to just like feel a real fluency. And then as different team members have been added in, or you know, you've got your draftees coming through, it just gives you that spark of energy that you need, because you have been going for such a long time.
I've seen on a couple of, I think it's you and a couple of your teammates' socials, is there a camping club? You guys just go four-wheel drive and go camping?
Oh, this is awful. Yeah, I did that. I went twice. Yeah. I definitely should have mentioned that.
You're a camper.
I am. There's there's four of us. I was in the bad books on the first trip, actually, because I'd bought a brand new swag I was really pumped about. And then so I was like, well, I'll just bring mine. Two of us will go in there. Another two will go in theirs, because they had the big Daddy Deluxe.
Of
and
course.
I was like, I've got a big – I've got the big Daddy Deluxe. Got it out. Absolutely not. It's like it's a single. And they just said, you're never bringing it again. Yeah. But no, we have been, and we've been enjoying it very much.
See, what I love, and we've spoken, like Captain Meg McDonald, we get a lot of you and your teammates through about how close you are outside of the club. And obviously we're super biased here at K-Rock for the Cats, but there's no other W club really doing it like the Cats. Like, the feeling just seems really good around the whole club.
Yeah, it's a special group. I think the year that Kate Sermon, who we call Spud, came into the program, she spoke to the fact, she goes, honestly, it feels like you're a bunch of misfits, but you just connect so well. And I was like, I couldn't have thought of a better way to put it together. Like, you've got big personalities, but nothing that stands out outside the mix where you can sit. I just love seeing it like at lunchtime. That's the best time, where you see, lunchtime sounds like we're at school. But over the lunch break, it doesn't matter where you're sitting. Like, it's a very well-connected group, and that is yeah, outside the four walls as well.
Excellent. Well, Georgia Rankin, we're going to get you to stick around for the next 20 minutes, half an hour or so. We both want to talk about the community camp in Warrnambool that took place last week. And, of course, because it no longer happens on the podcast that the Cats do for the AFLW season, we have legally bought the rights to Rankin with Rankin.
We actually have. It's so exclusive.
You finally can start doing it again. And we have got a few things that we would like you to rank. So Georgia Rankin from the Cats is going to stick around. It's Tim and Jess driving you home. You're on K-Rock 955. Georgie, pre-season for the Cats underway. You did a community camp in Warrnambool. Second year in a row now?
Yeah. Have we gone there for longer? I reckon we could have even had a third year before that when we played there.
Right.
Yeah, that was not a game to remember, to be honest. We didn't come away with the win, but we love going there. The men go there too as well for their community camp in the last couple of years too, so...
The
beautiful photo, spot.
The kids look like they absolutely love it. Like for people that might not know what goes on, like, what, you're there for a couple of days. What do people get to do in the community?
Yeah, well, we go out to school visits, where the beautiful kids. It was great this year. They've obviously really planned the time that we were coming, all their questions out. Like, we had some
great, that's so cute.
Yeah, just
piece
some
of
great,
paper.
Great
Georgie,
ones. Yeah,
how are you?
You know, asking, you know, why did you pick your number? Is there any meaning behind it?
Oh my God, adorable.
You know, like that they're going a little bit deeper, but you then go out, you have a kick around, you do a bit of a footy clinic, and then I think we visited about 2 to 3 schools during the day, headed to, a couple of us went to some footy clubs. So I went down to Port Ferry.
Oh, cool.
Which was beautiful. And then we took a session. There was about, I think in the end there was only 12 girls there or something. And got to run it with them, but they had like a big all-girls camp as well, or clinic, I should say, which was a bit more in the local area for any females to come along to. And then backed it up the next morning. We went and trained. There was a school that turned up for a short period of time, so I think it was semi-open, but unfortunately it was on a school day. And then after that, we again went round to visit another school before the end of the day. So it's just... great touch points for us. They are beautiful kids, like some of the best behaved, you know, attentive schools that we went out to. So we always love our time.
And they'll be talking about that for years.
100%. I still remember when Brett Peake from the St. Kilda Football Club came to my school. I still remember.
Why do you think John Platton was my favourite Hawthorn player, Tim?
100%.
He came out to my school.
We're big Georgie Rankin fans in Warrnambool moving forward. Georgie, Rankin with Rankin was something you used to do on a podcast with the Cats, but it didn't return for last season. So we're imagining it's not returning for season 2025.
No, I thought maybe I'd get more from the audience. Yeah. Like, we want it back, but... clearly it was.
I mean, Tim and I are pounding on that door. Yeah, so
we heard that the segment was open, we actually purchased the trademark, and so now we own Rankin with Rankin. The catch is we have to wait for you to be here
in the studio. I'd love to hear it on the radio without me and see how.
Well, we're yet to try it, but we're going to get you to rank one thing because it's been the off season. You're back in pre-season now, obviously. Rules are a little bit more lax during the off season, and Jess, with you being 22 weeks pregnant, you've described yourself, you're having a smorgasbord, the best food of your life right now.
I've had many a craving. I just did my gestational diabetes test, so I'm going hard fingers crossed. Don't have to do anything differently, but if I do, we're going full hog. So
that's great.
Can you give us your top three? We'll go three today. Yep. Foods that you indulge in. In the off season, start at three, work your way down to one.
Okay, top three. I in the off season, I really enjoy going pancakes for breakfast. Oh, it's not something. Nice. It's so
You're
underrated.
Not allowed to have that as a national athlete. That's
honestly,
so weird.
Well, you can go like your banana protein.
Yeah, it depends pancakes. What you put on the pancakes.
But no, I was going like what is it? Pancake parlor, like mixed with my. I mean, I'm pretty plain. Butter, sugar, and lemon, or maple syrup. Anyway, so that's an absolute treat in the off season. This one is not terrible, but I love nachos, and I try and steer away from them in season. But like corn chips, cheese, sour cream, guac, meat. But honestly, if I could just have like corn chips, cheese, sour cream, and maybe some salsa, that would be me done. There's not much nutritional value in that, but. I really enjoy it.
Like, hold the chicken.
Yeah, yeah right. Literally.
Number one, Rankin with Rankin.
Number one.
Best food in the off season.
Is KFC.
Oh!
We knew we loved you for a reason.
I know. So, yeah, I try and definitely steer clear
What's your KFC order? Because Tim has a very specific...
Oh, I go a chicken tenders box.
Right.
Unfortunately, that's the incorrect answer. It's an upsized Zinger box, no mayo. Replace the Wicked Wings with a Zinger fillet, please.
Yeah.
That's very specific.
So specific.
You should try it. It's a lead. Georgie Rankin, are you fine to keep sticking around till 4 o'clock? We've still got stuff to do. Yeah,
absolutely.
She's finished training.
I finished training for the day. I'm fine.
Still joined in the studio by Cats W star Georgie Rankin. Again, season kicking off August 16th. It's a Saturday, GMHBA Stadium, taking on reigning premiers North Melbourne. We are all about it. Georgie Rankin, thank you so much for sticking around. We're not going to chat footy now. We're just going to have a general chat and see how you feel about certain stuff. Is that all right?
That's more than fine with me.
Well, Georgie walked in today and she was like, oh my God, congratulations. Didn't realise you were pregnant.
22 weeks.
I feel like I've made it my whole personality. So it's nice to know that it's not the only thing I've been talking about.
Okay.
But I do want to talk about that moment where you start talking to someone about your pregnancy maybe for the first time. Like, a lot of people have been checking in on me, and I absolutely love when people are, you know, have been asking how are things going, how are you feeling.
Well, it's pretty much everything for you right now.
Yeah, and the thing that I've been getting a lot from people who have given birth is like, oh, what are you planning? What's your birth plan?
Yeah,
and like, people love to hear your birth plan. And currently, my birth plan is, go to the hospital, have a healthy baby, get a margarita. Like, I'd...
Wow. Well, do you remember, if you are going to breastfeed, maybe get a mocktail margarita.
But I really want to focus on that not dying part first.
Oh, huge. Huge. Georgie, your teammate, Chantelle Emerson, she's pregnant. Kate Darby's also and one of the mums at the club as well. So.
Have you heard the birthing stories?
You know what? We actually have, because we've got Kate Darby, we've got Jules Crockett Girl. She didn't have the bub herself, but her partner did. So new mum there. And we've even got Renee Gehring's back. And
she's
so her.
A star.
So we've got the club, really. And Dubs loves to share her story.
This is what I've been finding, right? So you tell people, I'm pregnant. They go, oh my God, congratulations. That's amazing. When I gave birth, I did XYZ, or I had the most horrific birth story and I'm about to tell you all the gory details. Mm. And I've just gotten to the point where I'm like, I don't want to hear it.
Don't
want to
hear it.
I actually don't want to hear about how the baby just slid out of you and it was totally fine. Or I don't want to hear that you were in labor for 3 days before anything happened. Both of them scary options to me.
Honestly, look, I'm looking forward to, I'm not looking forward to getting to that stage. I feel like I'm kind of skipping it.
I feel like you've just crossed your legs.
You're moving backwards, pushing away from Jess.
I haven't quite hit that age yet, so I'm quite happy to be sitting outside of that realm.
I feel like I hit this point where I'm like, okay, like, I was really excited and we finally had, we finally got pregnant, which was like a big thing for us. We've been trying for ages. And then it was like, oh, okay, we got to hit the 12 weeks and then we've got to hit the halfway point. And now that we've hit halfway, everyone's like, are you thinking about birthing? And I'm like, oh God, that's the next part.
This is what Hollywood's taking away from us, the nuts and bolts of having a baby.
Yeah.
And you're in the nuts and bolts phase.
Oh, you know? My God.
How many times have you said, I've got my gestational diabetes test today? You know, like, that's not something you see in, Bridget Jones's Diary.
It's so true.
So Hollywood has stolen the reality of it, because it is finicky, because it's a very important,
I feel,
special,
like,
thing.
Once you start hearing all the reality stories, if more women knew about this, they probably wouldn't do it. Like, it is terrifying.
Oh, well, what an advocate.
In the most beautiful, natural way.
Yeah, no.
You know what? Now I really want to talk about it again.
George is coming closer. Well, we've scared Georgie literally out of the studio, So Georgie Rankin from the W side. You'll be back in here in a couple of weeks over the preseason. But again, you can get your membership soon. First game, August 16th. Against the Roos at GMHBA Stadium. Georgie Rankin, as always, thanks for coming on by.
Thanks for having me, team.
You're on K-Rock. Tim and Jess. I've been doing a test lately.
Oh.
The last couple of months. I think I spoke about it on the show, but this is something that you always hear rumors, or you go, oh, it's an old wives' tale. I don't think this actually works. Nobody likes getting swooped by magpies.
No.
It instills a kind of fear in you as an Australian.
Have they started coming out already?
Just calm
down. We're still winter.
Just calm down. I know that springtime is when magpies decide that they must hurt. Are you walking in my park? Attack. Oh, you in your backyard? Attack. You want to get to your car? Attack. That's magpies' life, but they are protecting they're youth.
Yeah.
So we're happy with that. Obviously, we are the in their eyes a target or a danger to them. For the last 4 months, we have been feeding magpies out the front of our house.
Oh, because your son Jack loves birds.
Oh my God, does he love birds? Yeah. We went and got a whole bunch of stuff. We made like a little bird feeder out the back, but also we every day he'll say, "Dad, a bird said magpies," and I go, "All right, yep." We go into our pantry. We get a little combination mix we put together. We like research what's because we didn't want to. I don't want to harm them, but it's like, oh, here's almond flakes. I'd be financially devastated if I was giving magpies almond flakes though. So that I'd have to calm right down. But yeah. We got like this little box and we've just got like a little mix that we've made and we throw a couple of handfuls and the magpies come and they're so friendly and they get so close. They get so close. Like I'm saying within a ruler, like a 30 centimeter ruler.
Well, they started to trust you because you feed them.
100%. So my wife and son, again, Jack, he's almost two, so he's like really locked in on this at the moment. They were away for, I don't know, 4 or 5 days last week. I didn't see the magpies for that whole entire time.
Right.
When I tell you, when my wife and son pulled up Sunday afternoon into the driveway, 30 seconds later, the magpies land out the front.
Your son's the magpie whisperer.
He is their lord. And two little plovers came by. They started attacking the plovers to protect them from my son.
Wow.
He has built the trust, and it's not a wives' tale. We have earned respect of the magpies.
Yeah.
And now instead of what could be an all-out assault, at the end of the year in springtime, turns out we've got a couple of allies on our side now. We've got magpies that put out the good word and say, these people mean you no harm, because we are here not to harm magpies, but now the magpies know it. You just got to keep feeding them.
Your
just
son's birthday is coming up in a month. Do I need to get him a magpie costume?
That would...
He can become one with the birds.
Do you think they make magpie costumes is what I want to know.
If they don't, I will sew him one.
Okay, that's adorable.
I will make this happen.
I would recommend it. I think worst case scenario, it doesn't work and you've tried.
Yeah.
It's about starting that relationship. And you need to start it now in winter while they're hungry, while they're, you know, getting it on before their babies are hatching in the nest. So,
and then they will trust you.
But I'm feeling positive. So I wanted to get this message out there.
Are you fearful of taking the food away from them and all of a sudden they respond?
Well, no, because they were. I didn't feed them for the whole time my son and wife were away, and they came back and they were ready for food, and then they started fighting other birds immediately that got close. So I'm thinking about starting an army.
Right.
I'm liking it.
I'll make you a little hat too.
Thank you. Is this how conquerors feel? Because I get it. I get it.
Come on. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best. Goodbye.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.